BoolaNetwork.com, episode 124. Hello, everybody. My name is Randy Cantrell. Welcome to another episode of BoolaNetwork.com. Hopefully coming to you every Thursday. That's the goal. Today is Thursday, April the 12th, 2012. I'm in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. I don't know where you're at. Today, I want to talk with you about distractions. There are some good things about them. There are some bad things about them. Let's talk about it next. As is often the case, the subject of today's show was sparked by real-world conversation. And kind of a roundabout way that I began to think about this, it had to do with a person who, well, we will consider them a highly compensated person. But as is often the case, especially with some people, and I think some of this, by the way, I think is generational in that an older fellow making good money and has made good money for a long time and was lamenting about paying somebody to do yard work, maintain the pool, that kind of stuff. And he said, you know, I mean, logically, I understand that my time is worth more than what I'm paying, but it just irritates me. And I said, well, you know, it's a work ethic kind of a thing. I mean, you kind of take it as a symbol of your work ethic. And boy, this is a conversation. If you are not yet in your 50s, go find a man who's 50 or older. And ask him. Now, maybe not everybody, but boy, there's an awful lot of us out there that, you know, it's like, man, I should not be paying somebody to do this. And so we started talking, you know, about it, and I said, well, I would only add one little caveat that you may have already thought of. This may not be anything new, but I said, you clearly understand the economics of it, that an hour of your time is worth 10 times, 20 times, whatever it is, you're paying this fella to do your yard in an hour. And let's say that an hour of your time is worth $1,000 and you're going to pay him $100. You logically understand that you're in essence trading a $1,000 bill for a $100 bill by doing it yourself. But what you might not have thought of, and maybe you have, I told him, is $100 an hour is what he's capable of earning. And there's nothing wrong with that. But why would you deprive him of that opportunity? I mean, it seems to me that you both really benefit in an enormous way. He can provide for you an hour. He's giving you an hour, and with that hour, you're able to make $1,000, let's say. And in that hour that he gives you, he's willing to accept payment from you for $100. Now, that just seems like a pretty good deal to me. In financial terms, in time terms, and also in opportunity. It's affording both of you an opportunity to earn what you're worth. Well, he admitted that he had not quite looked at it that way, and you know, whether or not that helps him or not, I don't know. Time will tell. But it then morphed into a conversation just about distractions, and for whatever reason, his compelling need to be profitable all the time. All the time. That, you know, he was lamenting, you know, he got this phone call and he gets this thing and he got, and boy, these are very, very common conversations, by the way. I mean, we all have a lot of stuff going on. It doesn't matter how simple you think your life is. Go find the strictest minimalist that you know, and I would guarantee you their life consists of a lot of moving parts, because everybody's life consists of a lot of moving parts. And sometimes the moving parts, well, they don't move where we want them to, and they don't move as fast as we want them to, and they don't move where we want them to. And it drives us crazy, and it frustrates us, and we think, man, alive, if only I could, you know, I need to be doing this, I need to be doing that. And this drive to make every moment count profitably, and I'm talking financially, it's pretty rare. Now, keep in mind who I am and the context of all this. As a person whose work is building businesses, there is no question that the financial component is, you know, it takes on enormous proportions. And, well, it should. However, you can't judge everything by a dollar, nor should you. And so my conversation with the elderly gentleman morphed into distractions, and I uttered a phrase, and I pulled it out of thin air. Others might argue I pulled it from some other place, but I uttered a phrase, and he picked up on it and looked at me, and he said, that's good. And I said, what? I mean, yeah, you know me. I'm sitting here talking to myself. I uttered the phrase distractions from your talent. I don't even remember necessarily the context of it, other than, you know, kind of in general terms. We were talking about distractions, and I was making the point, or I was trying to make the point, that, you know, sometimes distractions are a really positive thing. We've all had epiphanies. I am just a man in search of an epiphany. And when you have an epiphany, we have these business problems. We have these life problems. Just pick something. It doesn't matter what it is. And it doesn't matter if it's got a financial component or not, but some problem, some business problem, some life problem. And we do nothing but focus on it. And we focus on it. And we believe with all of our heart, if I just think about this long enough, and I just think about this hard enough, and I just roll this over in my mind over and over and over, and if I scribbled something down, and if I mind map it, and if I outline it, and if I make a list of the pros and the cons of this decision, it will come to me. I will solve the problem. It almost never works. We may go on a run, we may go on a bike ride, we may go to the gym, we may just get in the car and drive, we may crank up the sound system to our favorite rock and roll band, we may look at something that's been languishing on our DVR, and we do that, we may take a shower, we may be out with friends, we may be out with family, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, yeah, there's an answer. There's a thought. There's an epiphany. There's a possible solution. Well, how does that happen? We weren't expecting that. We weren't looking for that. Well, it was a pleasant distraction. And that distraction served our talent. It served our problem. It served our situation. But boy, there are so many distractions that distract us away from our talent. My point was, you're sitting here, and I don't know how long he'd been sitting there. And this was not a face-to-face conversation, but he was describing looking out the window and watching people. He'd hired some tree trimming. And he was talking about how he had a contraption. In fact, I start to say I've got one of these, but I don't. My wife does. One of these, you've seen them, these long poles, and they've got this curved saw on one end. I mean, they look like something the Grim Reaper would carry around if he was 30 feet tall. And you can reach up and you can saw low-hanging limbs, kind of prune your own trees kind of a thing. Well, he had evidently a lot of trees, and he had hired someone to come and to trim the trees. And he was talking about how he had this contraption. And I said, yeah, we got one of those. And, you know, I could so be out there doing this myself. And my point to him in the conversation was, my wife loves, she doesn't love to trim trees necessarily, but she loves to do yard work. It is a pleasant distraction for her, and I would not describe it as a distraction from her talent, but rather it is a distraction for her talent. It gives her time away from other stuff to unplug, and I don't mean that just electronically, because she's going to have earbuds in her ear listening to a book on audio on MP3. But it's a distraction that benefits her. Now, there are many other things that she could do, probably does do, just like I do and just like you do, that are distractions from our talent. Can we discern the difference? Well, he admitted to me he was perfectly capable of getting some of these lower branches, and how he should have done that before he hired these guys, because these guys were taking down some branches that he felt he was perfectly capable of handling on his own. No, he didn't particularly enjoy doing that work. It was for him simply an issue of, I ought to have my butt kicked for hiring somebody to do something that I could do myself. And that sent me off to the races and kind of telling him what I thought about it all. And so we began to talk about some other things that he does do that he really enjoys doing. And he doesn't feel about those things like he does this thing. He doesn't do them because, well, I can do them and therefore I should do them. No, he does them because he loves to do them. And he understands it's a distraction. In fact, he used that word before I did, that there are some things that he can engage in that, yes, he could pay somebody else to do for him, but he likes to do it. And I said, well, those aren't a distraction from your talent. But for you to go out there and try to trim those limbs that you could reach with this tool that you have, I mean, how is that not a distraction from your talent? It doesn't make economic sense, but maybe more importantly than that, it doesn't make psychological, it doesn't make mental, it doesn't make business, it doesn't make spiritual, it doesn't make any kind of sense to do that. Now, it'd be very different if he was not a man who was capable of earning the kind of money he is capable of earning. You know, if he's a guy who can make $90 an hour, but he could go out there and do that on his own, but he's going to pay somebody $100 to do it. Okay. That's a $10 swing. Worth it? I don't know. That'd be his call, but a lot less worth it. But when he can earn 10 times what he's paying somebody in the hour that he's been given back, yeah, that's just crazy. That's a crazy distraction away from his talent. What about you? What about you? Now, there are lots of people that are talking about distractions, and there's lots of talk about shiny object syndrome, and shiny object syndrome is not new. It has been around since mankind first hit the planet. I mean, come on, read the Genesis record, and what do you see? The very first story after creation is, this fruit looks pretty good. I mean, it was the birth of the shiny object syndrome, and it came in the form of fruit that looked good to eat. Well, there was a problem with it. God said, don't eat. Well, they ate, and the rest is history. And from then till now, we have been attracted. Well, that looks good. Might not be good. It might be to your own damnation, just like that was to them, but, well, and to us too. But, yeah, we won't get into a theological discussion here, but it is the shiny object syndrome. And it is inside all of us. I've got a good friend, and he knows he's easily distracted, and we joke about it constantly, and we'll be on Skype or we'll be on the phone, and he'll go off chasing down some new trail, and I'll go, hey, look down the hall. You see that? And he'll, what? I just rolled you another ball of yarn. Here's another ball of yarn for you to play with. And we both just laugh, but, you know, there is a serious side to that of being distracted from your talent. And you don't have to be distracted by this friend of mine who's paying somebody to do a task, a menial task that he feels perfectly capable of doing and somehow is insulting to his manhood because he doesn't get out there and do it because he has the device to do it. He's got the tool to do it. He's got the know-how to do it. And he's like, I'm just stupid for paying people to do it. And I'm like, well, let's examine that stupidity that you're talking about because I don't quite see it that way. And you couple that with how we can be distracted in a positive way, and we can come up with solutions that we could agonize for days and days and days and days and days over by trying to be focused, trying to be in the moment, I'm trying to think about this. I got to think about this. I can't think about anything but this, thinking that that's going to help. And all of us have numerous stories of times and situations where that does not work, but we're in the shower, we're at the gym, we're a million miles away mentally from that problem, and all of a sudden, we think about something, and it just unfolds before our very eyes, and it just seems so easy. Yes, it's an epiphany. And they're great. And you would think that over some period of time that we would learn the difference between these distractions, but people chase like crazy. In my experience, we chase like crazy these distractions that are distractions away from our talent, away from the very thing we ought to be doing, away from the focus that we ought to be giving. We chase those like crazy. And the other distractions that serve to help us, you watch too much TV. You know, you can get more done. You need to get TV out of your life. Well, you're too into sports. You need to just kick sports to the curb. You know, you like to read too much. You just need to stop reading so much. You could get so much more done. I don't care what you enjoy doing. You're going to find somebody that's going to tell you you're stupid for doing it. You know you are. You hear it all the time. You read it in blogs. You hear it in podcasts. You read it. You see it in interviews. You see it in videos. You know, if you want to get something done, you know, stop watching so much TV. Now, I'm not sitting here saying that you ought to devote your life to watching TV. Well, if you're a TV exec, you might want to do that, but the rest of us aren't. But there's not one thing wrong with there's some novel sitting over there on a bookshelf, and you've really been meaning to dive into that, but you can't bring yourself to do it because you might be wired a little bit like the elderly gentleman who's looking at these guys pruning his trees and thinking to himself, there's no way I can pick up that novel. I've got so much to do. I have so much work on my plate. I have so many responsibilities. It would be absolutely irresponsible of me to devote an hour to picking up that novel and reading it. I can see the light bulbs going off over your heads already. Yeah, many of us are wired like that. We might not be wired like that, but society is wiring us like that. Society is laying this burden on us to make us think, you know, quit wasting time. You need to be thinking about your business. You need to be thinking about focusing on your business. You need to be thinking about ways to improve your business. You need to be thinking about your career. Now, I'm not saying don't think about those things, but if you think that all distractions are those distractions that are taking you from your talent, as opposed to distractions that could be enhancing your talent, they could be distractions that are even driving you closer to your talent, then I don't think you're giving distractions a fair shake. Truth is, some distractions are very, very good. You ever had a close friend? Maybe they've had some, well, I don't know. Health is kind of on my agenda lately because I happen to know so many people that are struggling with health issues. And anyone who's struggled with health issues or any family who has struggled with health issues can tell you, yes, there are worse things, but there's very few worse things. And you can go visit someone in a hospital and the patient is in bed and the patient is a loved one of this friend of yours and you may be going to try to provide some solace for your friend. And the friend may have been in this hospital room for hours and hours and hours. And what do we do? What do we do? You know what we do. You know what we instinctively do and you know why we do it. Come on, let's go downstairs and let's get a cup of coffee. Let's get a Coke. Let's grab a quick bite to eat. What are you trying to do? Are you kidding me? They've got their loved one is laying in this bed. You're trying to distract them, if only for a moment. Because instinctively you understand and you know the value that distraction brings. That to sit there and sit there and sit there and worry and fret and agonize over the ill health of a loved one, as much as that's natural and as much as we would do it, we know that it might benefit our friend if we could just provide for them a respite, if only for a few minutes. Let's go down the hall. Here, come walk down to the Coke machine with me. We're trying to provide a positive distraction because you know what we think? I'll tell you exactly what we're thinking. We're thinking that if we can pull them out of that room for any period of time at all, then we can help recharge them. We can help provide some rest for them, if only for a moment, that might enable them to continue on this path, this watchful, caring path for a sick loved one. But we look at our own lives and we can't see that. We look at our own lives and that novel that sits over there on the shelf that we've not looked at, we've never started it, but it's been sitting there staring at us, calling for us month after month. But no, we've got work. There's work to be done. There's money to be made. There's business to be built. Now, I'm all for time and place, and I hope you understand what I'm saying and my intent here. Distractions from your talent, distractions toward your talent, distractions that can contribute, perhaps only serving as a respite. Maybe they only serve as some moment of distraction away from the present distress so that you can be better armed to endure or overcome the distress. Now, I've not been in war, but I've watched plenty of documentaries, and you watch these documentaries, especially of the Vietnam War or some previous war, and as these men grow older and they begin to recount things, and they recount battles that just went on for days and days and days with just seemingly no end in sight. And it's very common to hear them talk about the mental taxation, the mental toll that it takes of just fearing for your life in a 3-day firefight. And you think, 3 days, but 3 days of fearing for your life, 3 days of just being on pins and needles. And no wonder we have untold soldiers who battle various mental fatigue issues. No respite. No distraction. There's a reason why men who are cooped up in those kinds of situations, or men that might be on boats, I'm thinking of The Deadliest Catch, and when they come to town, I mean, what do? Yeah, if you watch any of these, if you watch Deadliest Catch, and I still love the show. I mean, what are we? We got to be into season 7 or 8. I'm not sure, but you watch it, and you know it's the same kind of stuff, right? I mean, it's just a different season and different kinds of specifics, but the general things are still the case. And when you, at the end of a season, when they get these captains together, and occasionally they'll show snippets of various things that these guys are into when they aren't on that boat. And some of them, you know, I mean, some of them are into some pretty wild, high thrill kinds of things. Why is that? I'll tell you why that is. Day after day, night after night, month after month, week after week, they are on these ships doing very repetitive things. They need a distraction. For them to get their batteries recharged so that they can go back to crab season again next winter, they have got to completely, in some cases, go crazy. And so, you know, they get out on these high-speed boats. They get out on fast motorcycles. They drive too fast, probably, in cars, and they skydive, and they do seemingly wild and crazy things. Why? Because the season is such a grind, they've got to do something to go in a completely different direction so that they can endure 6 months of being on a boat doing the same stuff over and over and over and over again. There are so many examples I could give you, but hey, my time is running out. But I want you to think about the distractions that you can engage in that are distractions toward your talent. Distractions that can benefit you, that can benefit your life, benefit your business, benefit your health, mental and physical. But there are distractions that can distract us away from our talent. That is, yes, we can spread ourselves too thin. We can go chasing way too many things, way too many activities, way too many business ideas. And there is something to being focused. But that wasn't the subject today. Today, the subject was distractions. Distractions from your talent versus distractions that can benefit or maybe even take you closer to your talent. What do you think? I'll have you know, I finally opened comments at the blog. Now, I don't get very many. In fact, I don't get hardly any at all. But that's okay. If you want to leave a comment, you are free to do so. In fact, I would encourage you to do that. It's the best way here at Buddha Network to interact with me. There are all kinds of ways to connect. You can see those all over the website. My plan is, I said this some weeks ago, and I apologize, but I've been remiss in doing it, but hopefully I'm distracted toward my talent. The objective and the goal is to do this every Thursday. No, I'm not going to commit to a time yet, but I'm going to try to have this done by the end of day on every Thursday and get it out into the feed. I would encourage you to subscribe to the podcast. You can do that through your RSS reader for that very minute percentage of you who use those. Easiest way is click that iTunes icon over there to the right. That'll take you to iTunes, and you can subscribe there. And while you're there, leave me a spectacularly positive review. Yeah, you're free to leave any review you want. It is a free country, and for that, I'm very, very thankful. It's already mid-April, kids. That is just hard to believe. Now, here in Tornado Alley, it means that, well, we kind of are bracing ourselves. By last count, last week here in Dallas, Texas, we made the national news with tornadoes. I think the latest confirmed count of tornadoes on the ground, 17. Ranging in wind speeds of, I think, 120 miles an hour down to 60 or so. Could have been much, much worse. No loss of life. I don't even know of any serious injuries, to tell you the truth. A lot of damage, a number of homes damaged. I'm certain some businesses were damaged as well. Things here in the Yellow Studio, we were safe and sound, thankfully. But I'm sure the spring season will bring more. Follow Reed Timmer, by the way. Speaking of Discovery Channel and Deadliest Catch, Storm Chasers, it is a great show. I'm sure it will be on, Lord willing, in the fall, but Reed Timmer, up out of Norman, Oklahoma. What is he? He's Reed Timmer TVN or something like that. Tornado Video Network. Anyway, if you're into storms and guys that chase storms, he's a terrific guy to follow because he does a great job of keeping us all updated. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is BulaNetwork.com, and this is the Yellow Studio.